The following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
Okay, if you would, guys, the Lord quickened this week. And I know we were talking about it in our small group. And when we were talking about it, I don't know how to describe how this happens. But I'll see a passage, and I just know in my spirit, man, that'll preach. You know, that there's anointing. There's honey on that rock. And we were looking at Colossians chapter 3. What we've been doing in our small group is going through the different books in the Bible, a chapter at a time, discussing it. And we went into Colossians 3 this time, and I saw something in this chapter that I'd never seen before. That there's a cohesion and what I call an if-then. You know, the scripture is full of if-thens, conditions and promises. You know, if you continue my word, then you're my disciples indeed, right? A lot of God's promises, people claim the promises of God, but there's conditions to his promises, okay? Like anything else, it takes faith. Draw nigh to me and I'll what? Draw nigh to you. Proverbs 3 says, if you seek the Lord, cry out for wisdom and lift up your voice for understanding, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. There's an if-then proposition. And all through the scriptures, there's a condition to the promise. Okay, there's, we have to do our side. And what was really stuck out to me is I've been emphasizing this several times over the last 6 months or so, a year. And it's verse chapter 3, 1 to 4. Colossians. It says, if you be risen with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection. Now that word affection in the margin is mind. Set your mind on things above, not on things in the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then you shall appear with him in glory. Now that is a phenomenal set of scriptures, because what he's saying is it's a dictate that we are to live in a realm other than this realm. We're to set our mind, we're to dwell in a realm other than the realm you see, feel, hear, taste, touch. Not the central, but the supernatural, the spiritual realm. It's a command. And a lot of people read those as nice little airy-fairy verses, but don't understand that in Ephesians, he says, we're actually seated in heavenly places, okay? And our inheritance is in the heavenly places. And we know that the Lord said in the Lord's Prayer, when the Lord told his disciples to pray, he said, pray ye this way, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done what? As what? So really our mandate is to bring heaven to earth. To bring what's going on in heaven to earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as is in heaven. He said, how do you do that? Well, we're seated in the heavenly places. And Jesus actually, in Matthew 16 and Matthew 18, gave us a command where he said, whatever you bind on earth shall be. The Greek is what has been bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be what has been loosed in heaven. So we have a binding and loosing. We have a capability as children of God to look around in the heavenly places where we live by faith and to bring down what's heaven on earth. That's really what we're called to do. The kingdom come. So one of the best ways to pray for people in situations and things is to say, okay, I know this isn't going on in heaven. Is there fear in heaven? Is there panic in heaven? Okay, is there unbelief or bitterness or resentment or these types of things? No. So what do you do when you encounter in your life, in your personal life, or people that you know, love, and care on your business or your family, whether it's fear, dissension, bitterness, rebellion, division? What do you understand that that's not of God? Why is that? Because that's not in heaven. Okay, so you have an authority in Jesus Christ to bring the kingdom in those situations. The problem is people don't recognize that's our mandate. Well, that kingdom come, that will be done. And he's given us the authority and the ability. When you encounter fear and division, blessed are the peacemakers, Christ said. Remember that? For they should be called sons of God. So the point is, is there any sickness in heaven? Cancers or malignancies? Pneumonia? Tuberculosis? Are there any broken limbs in heaven? Let's get rid of, broken arms or broken legs. No. So when you and I encounter sicknesses and diseases and we pray, we have an authority. And the base of our authority, we can say, I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places, Ephesians 2. All right. I'm born from above. By the way, you know born again, where he says, except you be born again. Remember that in John 3? Did you know the literal rendering means born from above? A seed, 1 Peter talks about it, 1 John. A seed has been planted, a heavenly, divine seed. I'm not of this world. Therefore, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Right? We're not of this world. We're passing through. And so we literally, our home is in heaven. So literally, we pray for, now you may look around, you may say, well, it doesn't look like heaven to me. Looks like a pit of hell. Well, true, we're here, but our mandate is by faith in the Spirit, you dwell in the heavenly places. And so we're to bring down what's there. So you can say, you know, it may feel like hell, smell like hell, taste like hell, experience look like hell, but by God, I'm living in heaven in Jesus' name, and I'm going to bring heaven into this hell in Jesus' name. And that's my mandate, and I'm going to do spiritual warfare. I have authority to bind demons, cast demons out, pray for the sick. Amen? Preach the gospel. To reconcile, bring down. And that's exactly what Christ did. How many of y'all know when Christ came down here, where he'd been? You know where Jesus had been before he came here? In the realm of perfect purity and holiness forever. And then he comes down here. You know? And, yeah. And it's sort of like, so his whole mission was to bring the kingdom. He preached the kingdom. And most of what he did was rebuke. I saw this. We got to turn the church onto that, the Gospel of John movie that he gave me. That is amazing. I love it. We've got to do it for Sunday school. One of my, I have never seen Jesus like this. But David gave me this wonderful book, a movie made in, it's on my computer. It's a DVD. On, made in Canada, right? Britain. Wonderful. It's an almost exact and faithful rendition of the Gospel of John. And it shows this Jesus guy, and he smiles a lot. But most of the whole thing, he's in the face and rebuking and rebuking and rebuking and rebuking the Pharisees, almost the whole movie. And I went to the Gospel of John and said, oh, my God, that's almost the whole Gospel of John. I mean, things like, oh, you know, your father's the devil. Well, you know, Abraham knew me before, knew you. You ain't, look. Before Abraham was, I am. And they picked up rocks to kill him. I mean, I really saw a side of Jesus on life. He rebuked. He came into the sewer and he realized there's so much sin, so much devil, so much wickedness. It stirred his righteous soul. Just like it did today when I walked out of CVS and I saw on the Sun magazine, Sarah Palin's lover revealed. It's been all of these Globe magazines for the last few weeks. You know, this spirit-filled woman, they want to destroy her. And all this affair and us, there's nothing of the kind. But blatant lies to destroy. And millions of people have seen that. You're not going to vote. You know, the point is, it's the lie. A lying makes a righteous man mad. And Christ saw lies in every sphere. And he was constantly a standing rebuke. You know, if you're really walking in the kingdom of God, you're going to be a person that people really don't want to be around. I'm serious. If you're being like Jesus, if you read in the Gospels to be like Jesus, he was not the nice, gentle, meek and mild shepherd. Oh, he was with the kids. Right? And little animals, probably. Right? And the meek and lowly and the beat down and the city and the street people. But boy, those snots, religious whatevers. Ooh, man. Religious spirits. And you know what? That's most of what the body of Christ is today. People deceived. And if you're really going to be like Jesus, you're going to be a standing rebuke to sin. And to wickedness and compromise. You won't be popular. His first sermon in Luke 4, the first time the boy ever preached. The boy, he was 30. The young man ever preached. You know what the congregation did right after the sermon? They went to throw him off the hill and so he would be crushed in the rocks. That was his first sermon. Hometown, is his hometown. And it was just downhill from there. I mean, it's just, he didn't care. He was hated. In fact, Christ even said, I think it's John, I believe it's John 17, 16, 7, I forget. All right. If they hated me, they're going to hate you. And, you know, if they've done it to the master of the house, don't think they're not going to do it to you. And why did they hate him? Because he was a rebuke to holiness. Everybody was at the antithesis of heaven. He came down from holiness. He realized the only way, reproofs of instruction, the only way I'm going to get people ready for heaven is I've got to do everything I can to rebuke them so they'll repent. Because the only way to get to heaven is repent, which is to stop and turn 180 degrees and go the other way. So, we're called to live in the heavenly place. Would you agree? Set your mind or your affection, verse 2, on things above, not on things in the earth. That's something to be encouraged about. I don't think it means to be totally oblivious to. Although it's funny, I was reading something today about the crash in 1987, and they're saying the stock market dropping in 87 when all that went on in the market. You know, in 87, we started this church in my living room. At the time, there was no internet. I didn't have a TV. I didn't have any money to buy a newspaper. I knew nothing of what was going on in the world. Nothing. Didn't have any money. And all I did every day was kind of play on my little Apple computer, typing sermons out, writing booklets, praying for people for deliverance. I remember I went through those. I totally didn't know nothing was going on in the world. And I thought, man, I wish I could go back to that. Ignorance is what? But that was then, this is now. And so, but I do think we need to be cognizant of the things going on, but guys, not under the things going on. You know, when you're aware of what's going on in the world, I think you need just enough to know to be wise, but you got to go to Jesus and stay peace in your spirit. Because if you stay out there and hang out, how many people are walking around tonight depressed and, I mean, freaking out and just absolutely catatonic? There are a lot of people, millions of people are catatonic tonight about their life savings and all, fearful. Except born again believer, that's funny. I have one client that's a spirit-filled believer, and he just opened up some investments, and he emailed me yesterday. And he said, my wife's freaking out, and blah, we need to... And so I sent him an email back, and I said, well, brother, you know, blah, because he loves the Lord. You know, this and that, and it's good to have an emergency fund. And I said, you know, if things get really bad, I'll let you know. You might want to have a little backup in here. But in either case, I said, I did read the end of the book. He sent me an email back. He said, yes, man, I hope this is the end times. I hope Jesus does come back. I've had it with this. I say, come on. I said, I don't have to worry about that client. He's fine. Aren't you glad you live in heavenly places? Amen. In places, things above. But that is our role. Now, guys, here's what the Lord quickened to me. Those first four verses are worth memorizing. In fact, the other day, I don't know where I was, but one of them quick, because I've memorized them, one of them quickened to me where it says, set your mind on things above, or set your affection on things above, and not on things of the earth. And I was meditating on it. I realized it said, and not on things of the earth. I mean, in other words, he said, do not put your mind on things of the earth. It was do not dwell. Do not put your affection, your heart on things of the earth. Don't be soul tied to the earth, to the things of this world. And how easy that is. Our job, our kids, our house, our families, our relationships, our money, our toys, our computers, Craigslist, you know. Some people, that's become their second life, you know. And it's saying, don't put your heart in that. In other words, don't let it, it's okay to own things. Don't let things what? Own you. Amen? It's not being an aesthetic, going out and putting on a monk's thing, living on it, but it's not letting things own you. And I would say, it's be caution, beware. It says, warn them that are rich, you know, that they use it and be not abusers of this world, in 1 Timothy 6, you know. But they be rich in good works. That they be ready to distribute. You know, it's interesting there, talking to the rich in 1 Timothy 6, he says, ready to distribute, be willing to give it away. Hebrews 10, he commended the Hebrews because you took joyfully the spoiling of your goods. Can you imagine? All right, somebody rip me off. Yes. That's Hebrews 10. Now, that's a level of faith. That's living in the heavenly places. It says, because knowing in yourselves, you have a greater and enduring reward. Amen? We Americans, we get so soul tied to our stuff. I've been to a couple of places, India, Cuba, Central South America, and I've been to enough third world and been in situations. I remember going in India, first trip, to a cave. We went in a little jeep to a town where there was no electricity. Outside the town, there was a cave. We walked in the cave. There was this guy. He was a believer. He walked 2 or 3 miles once or twice a week to go to this little tiny church in the front room of a store. And we went in this cave, leaned down, me and Balasin. And he had a candle in there. And his whole life was just kind of the side of this hill, and he kind of a mud cave. And I remember standing in this guy's house, and we were talking about the Lord through an interpreter. And it stank, and he had a little mat there, and, you know, he had a little water, his old world belongings. And this guy, he just beamed. I mean, we came outside the cave. He wanted to show us his cave. But we were standing outside, and he had a little fire thing, you know. And I'm thinking, this guy has an uncomplicated life. Talk to him about the LIBOR rate of lending. You know, this guy, and the honor is the guy loved Jesus and was saved. Amen. So, what's the condition? You know the Lord quickened me. Verse 5 on is the condition. All the way, guys, to the end. Now listen. You say, I get it. I get it. I want to live in the heavenly places. You know, particularly these days. You know, if I'm going to have to be down here, I don't want my heart down here, right? I'm going to be able to be here, live, and to have to give, but I don't want my affections. Because, you know, if your affections here, you'll be affected by it. It'll affect your emotions. You'll be up and down. You know, the things of the world are going to knock you around. Well, here's the condition. You ready? King James uses this word, mortify. Is that how your versions read verse 5? Anybody else? Put to death. Now, all of a sudden, he's gotten morbid. You know, it's interesting. He was talking about heaven. Look at this. Heaven and glory and the second coming and living in the holiness of God. Way up in the heavenlies. You're way caught up in the heavenlies. And then in verse 5, he brings you down to earth. He says, okay, mortify. 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 I don't know what the Greek word is. But derivations of the word, have you ever heard the word mortician? Mortician is the guy at the funeral home that deals with dead bodies, right? Mortimer, huh? Necro, like the candy? Okay, necro. Undertaker. So to mortify means to put to death. And put to death what? Your members are upon the earth. In other words, what he's talking about, and Paul, you got to understand when he says, is that your verse to read members? 1 Corinthians 12, he talks about members. But he's basically saying here all of the parts of you that have to do with this world. That can be your emotions, that can be your body. You remember Romans 12, I beseech you therefore by the mercies of God that you present your body what? A living sacrifice. So he says put to death the members on the earth. The things inside of you, the drives, the ambitions, the feelings, the wants, the needs, the desires, the longings, all of these things, your physical appetites, your physical needs, all of those things, put to death. And then he goes on to say, because these are the things that come out of the members that are not put to death. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection. Does somebody have another word for that? Another version? Passions, evil, here's a King James word, concupiscence, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience, in which you also walked some time when you lived in them. Now, it's interesting. You know what? He's talking. I used to, for years, think, well, okay, good, that's not, a believer's not a children of disobedience or a children of obedience. He's not talking about believers. No. He's talking to believers. He's saying, you need to put these things to death. These things will come up behind and bite you. In Mark 10, Jesus said, out of the heart proceeds all manner of evil. And Jesus has a similar delineation. Talks about fornication and bitterness and adultery and the evil eye and deep types. And he says, it comes from the heart of man, wickedness in the heart. He says, in which you also walked for some time when you lived in them. But now, put off all these. And he goes even deeper. Now, I notice first, this first stuff is kind of really outward stuff. Fornication, uncleanness, or not, it's relational, it's made kind of the big sins, you know. But then he says, now let's talk a little deeper. Now put off also verse 8, what? Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another. I'm in verse 9. Huh? Lie not one to another, seeing you've put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man which is renewed, and the knowledge after him that created him, where there's neither Greek or Jew, circumcision, uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, Christ is all in all. So what he's saying here, I want y'all to see the forest and not the trees. Let's look at the big picture. What he's saying, you want to live in the heavenly places. You want to dwell in the high places. You want to dwell there and set your mind on things above. The reason it's hard to set your mind on things above is there are things you're not putting on. There are things you're not putting to death. You're not putting these things to death. You're not walking a crucified life. See? It's the crucified life. That's what it means. The self-denial, take up the cross and follow me. It's the crucified self-denial life. The result of that is you live in the heavenly places. And you know, a lot of people, it kind of gives the positive swing on it. You know, what a morbid life. Follow Jesus, you got to deny yourself and be crucified. The positive swing is you can live in the heavenlies. You can bring heaven to earth. You can walk into a situation and have the authority in Jesus' name to dispatch what you perceive in the heavenlies on the earth. You can bind and it'll be bound. You can rebuke and it'll go. You can command and it's decreed and it'll happen. I mean, something happened really weird the other day, and this blew me away. And it's really kind of strange, but I'll share it anyway. One day I was in the bathroom here, and I flushed the toilet. And sometimes, you know, I have a toilet, instead of going down, it just starts rising. And it's rising faster and faster and faster. And my first thought is, oh, my God. And there's no plunger around. And I'm thinking, what am I going to do? This is going to bite. So I said, no. And it instantly stopped and went back down. I went, dude, power. I have no idea if it just happened to pick that moment. But I thought about it later. I freaked out because I couldn't find the plunger. And I was thinking, now that'll preach, you know, right? I screamed at it, no, and it stopped and went down. Boy, it saved us a plumbing problem there. But I thought about it later, and I thought, you know, the thought came to me later that as a son and daughter of God, that's where you ought to live. That you, in the practical dailiness of life, can say no, and it doesn't. You can command, you can decree a thing, and it'll occur. Can earn a man. That's what Christ did. He was in the storm when he was asleep. I don't think when he first woke up, he thought, I'm fixing to stop a storm. I mean, they were freaking out. He was surrounded by unbelief. He just looked up and recognized there was a need. He rebuked the wind and spoke to the water. Basically said, no! And it stopped. Amen? We have that authority in Christ. And so many of us live under that. You ready? We look for the plunge, right? My first thought, where's the plunger? You know, where's the thing I can do to stop this in the natural? Whereas, when I realized it wasn't there, I screamed, no! And it came right out of my gut. It stopped. And I think that speaks to us. So many times our first thing is the doctor, the medicine. Run to the natural solution. And God, sometimes he just doesn't provide it. By the way, what would we do if times really got difficult, maybe in this event or future, and suddenly there was no more pharmacy, no more medicine, no more doctors? What would we do? Well, you know what we would do? We would do, in the third world, the miraculous power of Jesus to heal is so much greater in the third world because they don't have medicine. I know Omar Cabrera, the bolt salesman guy. Carlos Anacondia in his meetings down there. So many people were getting dental healing of their teeth. Remarkable. Multiple teeth healings. Because they don't have a dentist to go to. See? So we can trust the Lord. The problem is we Americans, we're so spoiled. We have so many plungers around. We don't have to take authority. Amen? So Jesus, in his mercy, just may take the plungers away. And we're starting out there just, you know, fat and happy with everything shut down. By the way, was it Jean told me today, you know, I had 10 days with the power off after Hurricane X. She said that was rehearsal, you know. And this time we were able to have gas. What if we couldn't get the gas? You know, I mean, oh my God. Well, hello. We live in, I mean, I'm going to forget Norman Parrish. I'm down in Guatemala. He says, you arrogant Americans, you think when you flip a light, the light's going to come on. I go, yeah. Yeah, but he said, I mean, he's from the third world. He says, that's not the way it is in the third world. We really do live in a isolated, and there are so many people that hate America. I don't understand why even so many people that are running for office and hate America. Listen to preachers for 20 years that hate America. politicians. There's an entire left wing just absolutely hate our way of life. I don't understand why. Why do you want to drag us down to the degradation? That's where we're headed. It's just, it doesn't make sense to me. But it's there. It's a spirit. I really believe it's a spirit. It's an envy. It's a bitterness. It's a powerful religious antichrist spirit. It's a spirit. It's a hatred. Lying and whatever you can to destroy. And, you know, I'll be honest with you. America's been a blessing to the world. America's been a light in the... Most of the mission work that's gone out in the last couple of generations has flown from America. It's interesting. Most of the missionaries in the world come to America to be funded. Did you know that? The missionaries, we support them, this little church. America, because of the way God's blessed us, we've been able to be the funding agent of enormous... God's blessed our country. I love America. Breaks my heart to see what's going to happen to it. Inevitably, as the forces of evil, whether this time or some other election, it's inevitable. There are forces bent to destroy the fabric of this country. But I've said it before, end time prophecies, you don't find America anywhere in it. Unfortunately, it's just a third rate. It's not there. So we now know how quickly that could occur. So what do you understand the condition now? Verse 5 to verse 12 to verse 11. Now, what else? First is the twofold condition. I want you to hear this. It's going to get really close to home in a minute. You've got to make a decision about the sin in your life. Okay? How many of y'all made a decision about the sin in your life? How many of y'all kind of trying to decide? How many of y'all sin in your life? Don't raise your hand. I said it after they raise your hand. How many of y'all have sin in your life, but you didn't want to raise your hand? Well, you know, this thing that happened to me this summer, and I had to confess some sin in my life. And I can tell you, man, I am blessed of God because... If ever there was an incentive to stay away from something, I have it. I really don't want to go to hell or get cancer. Praise God. And it has helped me to repent. And I recognize now I didn't need those incentives. I could have repented any time, but I didn't, out of whatever reason. And so the question I need to ask, and I ask it pointing four fingers to me and one to you, is why you're not repenting. You really don't want to go through what I went through. Trust me on that. You know, amen. But some men's sins go before him to judgment. I'm so glad God is good. That sin went before me to judgment. And I want to repent. I want to live a holy life before the Lord. That is a desire of mine, to be pleasing unto the Lord, to be holy. And you know what? The return is I recognize now I can hear his voice better. I mean, it's really that simple. I just can hear the still small voice better. This morning, I mean, in my quiet time, I'm sitting there anxious about all that. And the Lord spoke to me real clear. And I've been able to, and it took all the anxiety away. Man, that's worth gold. And I recognize that that's precious to me. How many of y'all want to hear the still small voice better? When you pray for someone, they really get healed. Can you hear an amen? I long for that. Been praying about it, fasting for years. Didn't know what I have to go through. But I long for that. Someone comes in, but not just me. I want to equip the saints. Well, we can all do that. Someone can come in with terminal disease, and we can pray. They go back, and it's gone. Okay, what's the B part of this? Verse 12. You ready? You put something off, now put on as the elect of God. You ready? Holy and beloved, bowels of mercy. See, put off the old. Now, this is what you need to put on in your life. Change your clothes. Bowels of mercies and kindness, humility of mind, meekness, long suffering. Look at this. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man has a quarrel against anybody, even as Christ forgave you, so do you. And above all these things, put on agape love, charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Do you notice he's talking about relationships? I want to point that out. I want you to listen carefully. The first thing he talked about putting on has to do with your relationship. And I would submit the reason these are so difficult to be your mercy in your relationships, long-suffering with other, forbearing people, forgiving quickly, learning to love unconditionally and not demand love back. A lot of times, guys, it takes living in the heavenly places to do that. Would y'all agree? You've got to live in the heavenlies. I mean, that's heavenly stuff. That's heavenly living. Unconditional love is, guys, that's not from this world. Somebody smites you on one cheek. Somebody's an absolute jerk. Somebody absolutely steals from you, and you give him your cloak too. Man, that's because you live in the heavenlies. You know that you have a better, more enduring substance. You rejoice for the opportunity to suffer Christ, for suffering for Christ's sake. You see, to live in the heavenlies is to recognize it in all their ways, acknowledge him, and everything happening on this earth is from him. God's hand is in it all, and it's all a gift to you. So that you, and when you've got to approach everything from the standpoint of thank you for the privilege of this, Lord. And if you're grinding and grumbling and balking and bucking and digging your heels in about something, guys, you are stuck in the soulish and you're demonized. It's when you give thanks and you rejoice and everything's from the hand of God, and even if it's difficult and you give thanks, you're lifted above it. And then you have the capacity to deal with it and overcome it and bind the demons in it and cast them out of it. And you're free. You know what I mean? So the problem always boils down to where are you living from? Where are you coming from? Where are you relating? Are you relating from the heavenlies or the soul? And so that's why the first thing to live in the heavenlies, you got to put off this stuff. You know, that's repentance, really. But guys, really, verse 5 to 11 is repent. That's all it is, repent. Stop! Stop! Turn around, but don't just stop now. Take on, put on yourself in relationships. Begin to love. And that, to me, speaks of community. You know, you've got to be involved with people. Forbearing one another. Long-suffering. Don't you love that word? Long-suffering. How can it be short-suffering? Long joy. Long peace, short-suffering, long joy. No. Then, okay, now he shifts. Look at this. Now he shifts from relationships to verse 15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you're one called and one body. Be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Guess what? He's fixing to lead you to the closing passages of this chapter where it's really putting where the rubber really hits the road. But he's saying the key here is you've got to learn two things. You've got to learn to walk in peace. And recognize that his voice is peace. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. He will speak peace. To walk in peace. To have peace. Peace is a commodity you can give away. Let your peace be, Jesus said on them. Let the peace of God rule. That Greek word is play the umpire. It's learn how to hear the rhema word. God speaks with peace. That way he spoke to me this morning when I was talking to him about my investments. And it was really full of fear. I was just sitting there looking at my fear. And I prayed in tongues and waited, sang a bit and waited, got still. And this amazing peace came on me. When I looked down, I went, whoa, that peace doesn't make any sense. It's beyond understanding. And that's when I knew it was him. I knew it was God was speaking to me in that peace. And he was saying, because I knew it was supernatural peace sitting on me at that moment. And then when I went to the word, one of the scriptures popped out. And there was a rhema word. To fight the fear. To fight the demon. And anybody can do that. So that's one of the things we got. And the second thing, he says, he will let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, guys. Teaching and admonishing in the psalms and hymns. Spiritual songs. You've got to be in the word. You want to live in the heavenly places? You've got to love the word. Some of y'all don't, you know, you don't read the word much. You don't dwell in the Word. You don't meditate on the Word. You know, you read a bunch of magazines or articles or this or that. You don't read the Word. You don't sit in the Word. You don't have the Word in your life. And you suffer the consequences of it. Thy Word have I hidden my heart that I might not sin against thee. Amen? If you continue in my Word, you're my disciples indeed. We Americans have so, the problem is we have so many distractions. Keeps us from God's Word. Can that amen? God wants you to be a Berean, where you search the Word, you study the Word, you believe, you embrace the Word, you default to the Word of God. And the result is, guys, you give thanks in everything. I want you to see this, verse 17, give thanks to God, whatever you do in word or deed. Now, here's where the rubber hits the road. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands, as it is in the fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and don't be bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things. This is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, notice he's dealing with all these people. Fathers, don't provoke your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, or you could say employees, obey in all things your employers or masters according to the flesh. Don't not with eye service as men pleasers. In other words, serve at your job in singleness of heart, fearing God. Whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord, not to men. Now, he's talking about here living this thing out practically. You know, so many people pull out this verse, wives need to be submitted to their husbands. Husbands need to love their wives. You know, if you're not living in the heavenly places, that's difficult. Can you amen? It's difficult for a husband to not be bitter against a wife. Because does not he say, be not bitter against them? You know why men are bitter against women? Because women are not like men. It's true. It's true. Women are not like men, and that frustrates men. My dad was he was in a play. He was a small town. He did these plays in Slidell Little Theater. And one of them he did was My Fair Lady. I think that was the one. And there's a song in there. Why can't a woman be more like a man? And I remember my dad would walk around the house singing that. When he was rehearsing it, you know. So we all got to know it back in the 60s. Why can't a woman be more like... We were all singing it. Yeah, you know, he had four boys. You know, my poor mom. But it's true. It really is a fact of life. Men, does he not say, husbands, love your wives, be not bitter against him? Why would he give that admonition? Because it's easy for a guy to resent a woman because they're just not wired the same. That's just the facts, Jack. And so there's an admonition. Be careful. In fact, 1 Peter 3 talks about, as you know, give honor to them as the weaker vessel. And it doesn't mean physically weaker. And I think in some ways, they're just structured. They're wired different. They're not wired for leadership. They're not. I'm sorry, the feminists in the room, but they're not wired for leadership. Women were not created to lead men. Women were created to lead women, but not men. Scripture's clear about that. But on the other hand, it says, women, submit yourselves to your husbands, and husbands, love your wives. And you know, Paul in Ephesians gives a whole lot more meat to these passages, right? Husband, love your wives as Christ, what? Loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might present himself a pure. So my point here, we know these admonitions. My point is, how can a wife submit to her husband? How can a husband love his wife and not be bitter? How can children obey their parents in all things? I looked at Clarissa. Look at Felicia. You're the only youngsters here. Oh, you guys too. How can fathers provoke not their children to anger, lest they be discouraged? You know, it's interesting. It says fathers and not mothers. Again, it doesn't mean there aren't angry mamas. Absolutely not. That's a problem. But a lot of times, just the way men are wired, when the man comes back with anger, it does something to the kid more than when the woman does. Now, a woman can damage. Trust me. Anger damages, period. Anger does not work the righteousness of God. But there's something about when dad does it, guess what? The kid sees it as God. Because dad is the ultimate authority in the family. Amen? So that's why, again, he admonishes fathers, be careful. How many of y'all grew up discouraged because you got anger from your dad? Hello? I had to work through that. And then he talks about employees, servants. But notice he says serve not for men's sake, but for God. In other words, do your job the way, because God's looking at you. You know, somebody once said, character is what you do when nobody's looking. When I was a young believer at One Way Inn in Beaumont, we're all a bunch of, you know, snotty hippies that had just gotten saved. 1972, bunch of guys, you know, and we all lived in community in this old Baptist church, put bunks around the baptistry, you know, it was wonderful days, the glory days of the Jesus People movement. And so, when we had daily teachings, I mean, we had sermons twice a day, 5 days a week. Nobody worked. Jesus was coming back. Why work, you know? And the elders were all these gentlemen. They just basically supported the thing. I finally got some little business going. I went and sold rug flowers at the mall for $1. But anyway, we got started on teaching. Well, we would all, every night, we'd sit in the kitchen discussing scriptures. Those were wonderful times. And I remember, we would have chores, and our chores, we would, you know, clean, and the bathroom had a shower stall, And we'd clean the kitchen. We'd take turn cooking, you know, we'd community. And we had a saying there that Doug would talk. Doug was our pastor, about being a disciple. And that, you know, Scripture says, well, if you're faithful in the little, you'll be faithful in the much. If you're faithful in the little things, God will see it and commend you the much. So we used to say the apostolic ministry started by cleaning the back of the toilet. Because nobody looks at the back of the toilet. So if you want to be an apostle, you'll clean the back of the toilet. I mean, there was real wisdom in that. In other words, you're going to show God, I'm going to, if I'm in doing, you know, latrine duty, I'm going to do it so good because God's watching where I'll wipe it. And that's exactly what he's saying here. Do it heartily to the Lord and not to men. So many men seek for men's approval. You know, your job, if you're doing, you know, what, fawning up or what's the word, you know, trying to appease or appeal or, you know, I don't like that term. But, I mean, you know, just try to get your job boss in your favor. Guys, you cause envy with your coworkers. You just do it as unto the Lord. In fact, I think it was Bill Gothard once said, the secret to success is make your boss a success. You just decide, my job here is to make my boss a success, to get him promoted. I'm going to, whatever I have to do. You know what? Don't ever say that. Just do it. You know what? You will succeed. And that, so there's real wisdom in this passage. And finally, he closes it, verse 24. And this sums it up, guys. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ, but he that does wrong shall receive for the wrong which he's done, and there's no respect of persons. You know, he sums up the chapter by saying this. He says, look, we're called to live in the heavenly places. That's where we're called to live. We're called to mind heavenly things. And there are fundamentally two things you have to do. There's something you have to put off, and there's something you have to put on. That's it. Put off means repent. Stop. You know, recognize you live in the soulless sewer. Stop. Repent. Turn around. Do whatever you got to do. Do radical violence to get that thing out of your life. Accountability. You know, one thing I've done, because I've been on the internet, I'm on the internet all the time, I put some software on. Recently had it installed on my laptop and my computer here at the church because I can close the door. And you know, when you go behind a closed door on the internet, how many of y'all know you can look at anything there is? Yeah, I'll have, any of y'all have kids and they have the internet in the room behind a closed door? Don't do that. Well, I had them put some software on it. Praise God. And David was looking at it the other day. It takes snapshots of the screen at regular intervals. So anything I look at it, anytime someone else can come in, and I've given permission to the guy, just come in and look at it. I want that area of my life exposed. I want that so that I cannot go and look at anything but knowing someone else. I need that area of my life exposed. I recognize. I need that accountability. That's doing violence to sin. Can you amen? But be honest about it. I mean, you know, in your weakness, your strength is made perfect. You know, I wish I'd done that years ago. I wish I'd snapped. And how many people need something like that? And that's just an example of whatever the sin is in your life. Do drastic. Be drastic about it. Be radical, man. Don't let that thing, you know, drag you to hell or drip, drip, drip you to misery and soullessness and demonization. Repent. That's what he says, repent or you'll perish. Stop. Remember 2 Corinthians 7, he gives us sevenfold manifestations of repentance? You know, what vehement desire, what revenge it put in you. Be hot. You know, Revelation 3, he says, be hot and repent. Be hot and repent. And then he closes, knowing you receive the reward for you serve the Lord Christ. Bottom line is, that's a reward, is living in the heavenlies. Jesus, I think I speak for all of us. We long to move, Jesus, in those passages in Colossians. And I thank you for quickening this to me, that you're so gracious. You really show us how to do it, that we can live in a realm above and not beneath. We can decree. We can pray. We can live in peace and power and anointing and joy and glory. Hallelujah. But, Lord, there's something we have to do. Lord, help us. I pray for conviction tonight. Conviction. I pray for the conviction of the Holy Ghost and everything that we need to put off, Lord. Every sin, every unholiness and unrighteousness. Lord, every area of bitterness or judgment or unrepented area, the Lord, that we've nursed or justified or blamed. Lord, I pray you bring conviction. We can repent. Lord, I pray you'll give us wisdom, creative wisdom on how to do violence to sin in our life. If there's sin, Lord, to go to whatever extreme is necessary to purge it out, to repent, to bring others in if necessary, so that they can be destroyed in our life and we can be free. And then we can put on, Lord, bowels of mercy and kindness and forbearance, and hallelujah, we can move in submission and humility and gentleness in relationships, Lord. We can hear the voice, the peace of the voice of the Spirit. The Word of God will dwell in us richly. Lord, we need a word, and the rhema is right there. Oh, labashita katara motor. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. He does see shondo the condition. Is it the conditions to living in the heavenlies? The conditions to living in the heavenlies. Jesus. And just respond if the Holy Ghost has convicted you of anything tonight. Any area, ask the Lord to forgive you. Say, Lord, I want to walk in righteousness and holiness. I want to be pleasing to you. Most of all, I don't want to live in an anxious, troubled world anymore. I want to live in a world of peace. Each day is joy. That no matter what the world throws at me, I can get on a surfboard and surf it, and not the waves beating me down. I can surf over everything, Lord. In you, nothing has to get me down, Jesus. Even if this world goes to hell in a handbasket, thank you, Jesus. I live in the heavenlies. And I can be a redemption for those around me. I can be a light in dark places. Lord, if this country is turning a left turn and literally to the left, and poverty and socialism or maybe this crash, whatever happens, what I pray, Jesus, is revival. I pray people have been smug and comfortable in their religiousness will repent and come to Jesus. When suddenly the rug's pulled out, Lord, they'll repent. And we pray that people will be open to the gospel. Lord, when we go into places to pray and to offer to pray for the sick, the heal, those that are hurting or in pain, that they would say, yes, pray for me. I have needs. Lord, we pray you'd send people like that to us, to this work. Come, Holy Ghost. Jesus. Jesus. Open our eyes. Open our eyes.
I just had kind of a picture. Do y'all know how, have y'all ever seen a blimp when it takes off, when it's, they park it and then they launch it? Do y'all know how they do it? I used to live when I was a kid. They're a naval station in New Orleans, and they had naval blimps. Well, the blimp is filled with, what, hydrogen or helium? And the one that I remember I used to see, you probably saw, was they were tethered to the ground. And we used to ride our bikes outside this naval reserve area, and these guys would undo the ropes. And literally, it's funny thing is the blimp was wanting to go up. It just naturally was wanting to ascend. But they would undo the ropes. And as they undid the ropes, loose the tethers, it would launch. In other words, its place was in the heaven. And what I just caught a glimpse of was a blimp almost up, but one of the ropes is still attached. It's like it's teeter-tottered, and it's wanted, but there's an area where it just can't ascend because it's still attached. Lord, I pray you'll show whoever that is, whatever that is, that they want to live in this realm. They want to see the supernatural and live in an above realm. But something's got them hooked down here. There's a deception. There's an area of pride or privaciousness or whatever. Rebellion. Lord, I pray in your mercy you would reveal that, so that rope could be unhooked and that they can ascend. They can live in the heavenlies, Lord. Dwell where they were called to live. Peace and joy. The kingdom of heaven is peace and joy. Oh, Shandala Makatana. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord. Have mercy. Lord, I pray the word would just go sink deep in our spirits tonight. Find its home, and everybody said. Amen. God bless you. Go in peace. See you.
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.